Good afternoon to all our listeners on CJTR Community Radio on 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet. And gee, I lost my place there. At CJTR.ca. Just kidding. Not. Welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Thanks to Canadian band Mr. Something Something from Toronto and the Afrobeat poet Ikwunga for our theme song, You Are Beautiful. I'm flying solo today. My name's Jim Hutchings. Mona is off on assignment, let's say. But we have some special guests this week. We've got Mirtha Rivera Mazuela. Hey.
Got it. That's it.
I was trying hard because I missed that last year.
Yeah.
I didn't. And we've got Jean Hildewald.
Yes.
Close?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And our topic this today, like it was a year ago, Gay Pride Week. Mirtha is the chair of the committee planning the celebration.
Yes, I am.
Including the Pride Parade.
Yes.
And the Gay Pride Week starts on Monday, June 13th and continues to June 18th. And today we're going to touch on the history of Gay Pride Week and find out what is planned. So welcome. Very good to see the two of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us over again.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's happening? I know Mona's, she's got a speech prepared. You asked her to talk on Monday evening.
Yeah, we, on Monday morning at 10 a.m., for the first time in our history here, we're going to have the flag being raised at the legislative building.
Wow.
So that's something that it never happened before, and we're really happy because it's just more recognition for our community.
Let me back up here just a little bit because I neglected to introduce you properly because I've got your CV here, and I'd just like to have a look at it. Mirtha Rivera was born in Chile, and you arrived in Canada in 1975 as a political refugee, proud mother of two sons, recently married to her partner, Jean Hillebold. And I was happily at that. That was a great party.
It was. Thank you. Yes.
After 21 years of life together. And they share raising two sons and a daughter. You're an activist in Chile, and your involvement was with communities where there were human rights violations and social issues such as poverty, violence, addictions, illnesses, and workers' rights. And you worked as a popular educator through music and popular theater. And here in Canada, you were a founding member of Immigrant Women Regina Chapter, instrumental to the beginnings of Regina Open Door Society, a founding member of the Chilean Association, where you formed the Chilean folk group, where you taught Chilean dances and songs, part of the Crime Prevention Commission with the City of Regina, Saskatchewan representative at the National Action Committee on the Status of Women. You've been busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have been a very dynamic and controversial member of the Regina community around social and human justice issues. Your passions are justice and equality, abuse and discrimination. And they've become a very familiar field because of your personal experiences, and you're not afraid to name them. Presently working at South Saskatchewan Independent Living Center, you're a board director on APSS. What does that stand for?
AIDS Program South Saskatchewan.
Okay, and Gay and Lesbian Community of Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Chairwoman of Regina Pride and Commonweal Community Arts.
You.
Yeah. and I don't have anything here for Jean. So Jean, would you fill us in a bit on what you'd like us to know about you?
Oh, okay. Well, I've taught first year English classes at the university for 20 years. I'm part of a position that was created in the late 1990s called instructor. And we instructors have job security, and we only teach the first year classes, so I'm reasonably happy there. And the University of Regina had protection for people of all sexual orientations before we had it on the provincial level.
Oh.
Like the province of Saskatchewan added that to its human rights code in 1993, but the university had it before. So this, and I was a grad student before I was teaching there, so this is partly why I've been able to be outspoken.
That's
because,
a good thing.
Because I didn't have to worry about being homeless and unemployed.
It's true, isn't it? Sometimes you're, because of job security and things that, people are hesitant to say things that should be said.
Very before 1993, there was an atmosphere of paranoia among civil servants in particular. Like, Regina is a government town.
Sure.
And I knew people in our community who had government jobs, and they were, some of them were just, I don't know, I'm tempted to say hysterical about the possibility that somebody might talk to somebody who would reveal them, expose
them,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's really good to have rights.
Yeah, we still see that kind of paranoia in different endeavors, like the professional sports, you know.
Yes.
There are no active players in the NHL who have come out and said that, you know, they are gay.
Right.
And,
yes.
By percentages and the number of people we have there have to be.
There have to be.
And, but we do have people that are coming out after their career is, like, after they've retired, you have them coming out.
That's right.
You know,
when it's safe. People will sneak out of the closet when it's safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also a freelance writer. Mm. I write stories and reviews.
Mm-hmm. And poetry.
And poetry, yes. Mm. And I've been writing articles and reviews for Perceptions for many years now. It's the only gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender magazine in Saskatchewan, and it's produced in Saskatoon.
Oh,
yeah.
So both of you are pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So I was thinking maybe what we'd have a little. I'd like to have another look. We did this last year, but I always think it's worthwhile that the history of Gay Pride Week, what were its beginnings, both sort of internationally and here at home. So who would like to field that one?
You want me to give my usual brief? I'll try to be brief.
Be thorough.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yes.
Just remember she's a professor.
Well, we had an interesting chat about this, Myrta and I, about Pride Week this year. Every year I give a little spiel about the history of the Stonewall Riots, and that was the official beginning of Pride Week. In 1969, I think it was June 23rd, 1969, the police made a routine raid on a disreputable bar in Greenwich Village, New York City. And it wasn't officially a gay bar. Like, there were no official gay bars. There were bars that were rumored to be pickup places for that community. And the police would raid them. And they would have quotas. They would just round up everybody. If someone asked, "Do you have a match?" That was the standard pickup line in those days. You know, if they said that to a plainclothes cop, then they could be arrested and taken in.
Yeah.
The paddy wagon would be full of bar patrons. They made a routine raid this night, and for some reason, the bar patrons fought back. This was unheard of. Like, I've heard people who remember that time say it's parallel to a revolt against colonization, you know. And the riot continued the next night. The next night, the police came back with reinforcements, but the bar patrons were there with reinforcements from the neighborhood and from their community. And there are rumors or legends of drag queens using their spike heels or their platform shoes to pound New York City's finest.
But it's my understanding that part of their reinforcements wasn't necessarily people from their own community, but it was others, the wider community that was there reinforcing.
Oh, yeah, I should have made it clear that people from the neighborhood, like from Greenwich Village in general, who were concerned about this. And so the riots continued for several nights. And finally, the police basically had to back down. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to make their routine arrests. So there were meetings almost immediately about what this meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so within a year, a gay rights organization had been formed. And so what's been called the gay rights movement more or less comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why, Pride Week varies, the time frame varies a lot. I mean, it's not always the exact anniversary of that day. Most places try to have it in June, unless it's unbearably hot in June, which, of course, in Regina, it usually isn't.
Who knows?
Who knows the weather?
Right. But, I mean, theoretically, that is what we all commemorate.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Mirta and I were talking about how maybe this year we should talk a little bit at one of our events about the Saskatchewan, the history of gay rights in Saskatchewan,
sure.
You know, which is, mm-hmm. is somewhat different from the history in New York City.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm often, you know, when we talk about things historical like that, you know, I'm an older person.
Yes.
And when I look back over, you know, my, I guess, years, it's hard to realize how far we've come in actually a fairly short time on,
yes.
on a number of fronts, not the least of which, you know, is gay rights.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure
yes.
you have the same feeling about it. It's hard to believe
yes.
that we are where we are now, not to say that there are improvements possible.
Yes.
But it's hard to believe that we are where we are now when you look back just a few years ago at where you were.
Oh, yes.
You know. So, mm-hmm. well, let's carry on with Saskatchewan. What's when sort of when things started to happen here
well,
and
it was,
that sort of thing?
Well, it was in 1989, and I think I was just out of the closet at that time. And, it was this group of us who were organizing a parade. We didn't get the permit, and we were so afraid to be recognized on the street that we had a workshop painting masks so nobody could see who we were.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the permit. We marched in the middle of the street to the ledge
mm-hmm.
on Albert Street.
You say you didn't have the permit. Did you apply for a permit and it was denied or what?
We didn't
even apply?
No.
Okay.
No, because we knew that things wouldn't happen
mm-hmm.
or people were so afraid that we'll say, no, we're not going. But we were kind of daring, so we went mm-hmm. and did it. And we wore masks, and it was just a handful of people at that time. So just looking back to 89 mm-hmm. to now,
right.
we're not afraid of having this week of celebration
sure.
in the open, and people come and give us support. And surprisingly enough for me, we get a lot of support from the community at large.
I'm just curious, in 1989, when you had this first event,
mm-hmm.
What kind of reaction did you get? You must have got some negative reaction.
Of course. We had
yes.
people along the street who were yelling insults to us. There were cars who will try to stop us and just cross our way. And so we were kind of scared too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
the police showed up, but they didn't arrest us.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept distance with us. So I guess they were concerned that something will happen.
So would it be fair to say that perhaps they were more concerned about your safety than what everybody else was concerned about?
I would like to think so, because there was no reprimand, no nothing. And
mm-hmm.
at the end, they asked us, did you get a permit? And
yeah.
I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, here we go.
Yeah.
I said, well, next time you get one.
Yeah.
And I go,
yes.
okay,
yeah.
we will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and we wanted to have recognition in the city. So this started growing, and we started organizing until in 98, it was 10 years later, that we had a group of really dynamic people that we were really open to have all this, ask for a proclamation from the city, from the provincial government, and have a week of celebration. And that time, we had, in combination with Saskatoon, 300 people marching with us. So it was just really moving. It was something that we never thought it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of interest, people calling. We had a few. We had our people who are not happy
mm-hmm.
who we are and what we do according to them. But we knew that it would happen. We had a demonstrator who was there that all faggots will go to hell with
oh,
their
yeah.
signs and
mm-hmm.
his kids and wife and protect the family.
Yes.
So it was kind of, but our idea was not to answer to him, not to engage into any kind of argument, and keep on celebrating. And we sang louder than we would have ever sang, so
oh, yes.
he had to leave. I don't
yes.
know if we were in tune or not, but that's what happened that time. And
yes.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
wow.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Has it been an annual event since that time? Or
Yeah, every yeah. year. And it's usually the second week of June that we organized this. And before we coordinated with Saskatoon, 1 year was here. Next year we'll be in Saskatoon, the parade I'm talking.
Yes. Okay.
But about 5 or 6 years ago, we have our own. Saskatoon is having his tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week, on the 18th, we'll have ours.
So do you go back and forth, like members from Regina maybe go up to Saskatoon?
Some do, yeah.
Yeah, well, this weekend we don't have anybody anywhere because they're all in the parade over there.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and they've been asking us from Saskatoon if they can come. And, of course, everybody is invited, friends, allies, our own people. Kids, dogs, you name it.
Mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm.
all in the parade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it's a tradition that we never overlap Pride Weeks with Saskatoon because some people like to celebrate for 2 weeks.
Sure.
And if they can, why not?
Yes. Well, that makes sense. So you got 2 weeks of celebration in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Moshe is also included. They are not that many people in there, but they raise their flag and they come to our parade, to our celebrations, and they have a dinner, I think. I'm not sure what this year will do, but that's their tradition over there. So, yeah, we're growing. Mm-hmm. I think we are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do your celebrations differ? Basically the same sort of thing? Are they really different, Saskatoon and Regina?
No, not really. The only difference that we will get there, Saskatoon does it in the park. When they finish their parade, they have events during the week, different venues. But when they finish their parade, they go to the park and they have a fair with performances and artists, you name it. We haven't done that because it costs money and we're really poor. So,
yes.
So that's one idea for next year. But we're grateful to most of the people who have supported us. All the ads that you will see in our Pride Guide, our book that you have in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
They've been asking us since, I said July last year, right. Are you going to have Pride next year? So they were lining up for us. And they show that they're supporting and sponsoring us, and they give us money for those ads, so that's how we can have all this celebration.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, that's the Saskatchewan experience. Is that pretty much the same across the country, or are some provinces less active or more active? Or
well, the controversy around Pride, I would say now, is that some say it's become too much of a celebration or even a tourist attraction, and the political roots are being forgotten.
Okay.
Some say that. I mean, that's part of the reason I talk about the roots, year at Pride. I mean, it's good to celebrate instead of simply agonizing,
right?
As well.
So it's more of a fun thing than like a protest thing,
right?
You don't have people with signs and shouting slogans and stuff like that,
right?
Yeah, you've got more fun.
And I would say the visibility of our community is political by definition.
Sure.
Yeah.
In itself, any event that we have is a political statement because I wasn't there before.
Right. So. Yeah.
And people are courageous enough to come and say, okay, I'm part of this community. Like we have an art show and there's some people that I didn't know they existed, and they have their paintings and everything in there. So it's just encouraging.
Yeah. I would think that really part of what you're doing here is something you have to do, well, continuously. It's all about awareness, and you have to make yourself visible. You know, it's sort of part of the education process for the public, because you've always got people that... let's see, how's the best way to put this? I mean, they don't know. For whatever reason, they don't know.
Yes.
Maybe they've come from a small town, or maybe the community that they lived in, people didn't talk about, the gay experience, gay rights, etc. So you're going to be educating for a long time.
Right. Well, I think there's a perception that, you know, there might be, or that there definitely is a gay community in San Francisco and possibly in Vancouver, because that's the weird West Coast.
Yep.
And maybe in Montreal, because it's a Francophone kind of European flavored city, but not here.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We need to make it clear that we're here. We're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I guess Do you find that it's a little more difficult given sort of our political realities now that's changed, and we've got a conservative government in Ottawa, and we've basically got a conservative government here in Regina? There seems to be a shift to the political right, which I don't know. Does that sort of unnerve you a little bit? I mean, I know it unnerves me.
I really think that this year I have to say that we had a lot of response from the provincial government. They've been really supportive.
Good.
They gave us the proclamation. I even had somebody offer to write a profile for Pride from the government because we need it. And I go, okay, wonderful. And every year we never had a problem with the proclamation or anything else.
It's true.
And it is that they come and they presented themselves, which we were surprised the first year that happens. And there's a message that we got from the Bradwell that he said that his greeting was that Saskatchewan, in order to be better, cannot see anybody being discriminated. In a nutshell, that's his greediness. And I go, well, good for you, you know.
Yes.
It is worrisome, but I think that focusing on that is the human right, not to discriminate anybody,
right.
That it is a prejudice, that homophobia is a prejudice. I don't think that anybody under the sun, unless it's really, really a bigot, will like to be identified as I'm homophobic and I hate this and that. And nowadays, especially the young people, are the ones who are not afraid. There's things that worry me and concern me, and they go, no, there's not a problem. And I go, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you have to be vigilant, I think.
You have to,
Yeah, my experience myself is that talking to people about homophobia, they'll say they're not homophobic, but.
That
there's a but in there,
You
know. So, but they don't agree with same-sex marriage.
Right.
But they don't agree with, you know, same-sex couples adopting kids. Or there's buts all over the place. Yeah. But we're not against you.
Yes, right.
No.
You know?
So
that's right.
I think probably awareness is something you're going to be working on. And
oh yes,
for a long time.
We cannot forget that all these rights that we have now recognized, they were not given to me. They're not giving me those rights. They are recognized that we have them.
Yeah,
they can be just taken away with a stroke of a pen.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yes.
And then what? It had happened in other countries, and we go to the same place that we were before, being a known person.
Right.
That's what it happens when you're the victim of prejudice.
I think one thing that the governments have realized is that this is a major, you know, your community is a major part of the overall community.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I guess part of the problem has been the reluctance to admit that, you know, from some people.
Yes.
You know,
the
rough percentage that you hear bandied about is 10%. And that's huge.
It's huge.
So, you know.
And it can only be approximate, though. I mean, I've heard really weird arguments about how to split hairs about exactly how many queer folks there are in the population.
Yeah.
And I've asked, how can you quantify feelings? That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's partly about human rights for individuals, but it's also about freedom of choice in how you're going to live.
Yeah.
And I mean, the kind of homophobic campaigns that are currently going on in African countries, particularly in Uganda, they're really designed to terrify a whole population into behaving very conservatively for fear of what could happen otherwise.
And it's kind of nice that you mentioned Uganda because, of course, human rights groups, including Amnesty International, have claimed victory here because Uganda was going to make it an offense punishable by death to engage in homosexual activity.
Or if you were suspected of.
Oh, it was just huge.
It was huge. And they were going to criminalize everybody around a person practicing homosexuality. If you knew about this and you didn't report them, you could go to prison for 7 years for not ratting, basically, on your loved ones and friends.
Yeah, amazing.
I just think that people in Uganda were so courageous that my hat goes to them because it is courageous to collect all those signatures, run those petitions, and go in person to the government officials and say, this is the support that we have. Because other people have tried in other countries, and they disappear, or they get tortured or killed.
Yeah.
So just my heart goes to them.
This is where they need our help.
Exactly. The support from everybody.
Oh, yes. Yeah. International attention.
Right.
Yes.
That's the only thing that Amnesty, I think, had a commercial on TV that you may have seen where somebody's going to get beat up or shot or whatever.
Until that was really effective.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they look around and, oh, they see that we're watching. And they just sort of go away. Okay. No, we weren't going to do anything.
Right. Right. Yes.
But that's what's required.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the eyes of the world are in that country, it's hard to deny it or do it.
Yeah, it's worthwhile, worthwhile for sure. Well, we've reached the end of our first half hour here, so we're going to take a break, and then I'd like, when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what else is happening during Gay Pride Week, and how people can participate and have some fun.
Oh, great!
So we'll be right back.
Yes.
I want to play the morning like a jazz man. You know what I want to do? I want to leave my groove on the afternoon and on the dinner time, too. I want to work my hands and fingers on the smooth keys of a China blue dusk. I want to touch the cool night and make it so it's ringing and singing out, don't you know it? I'll tell you what, I want to play the hours like a jazz man. And make every minute I get into a bop rhythm minuet. Now check this out. The moment is my mouthpiece. I am my own trombone. And a true player knows there are no wrong notes. And the harmony comes from how you come to hear it. Can you dig it? Amen. I want to play the days like a jazz man. From the sweet yellow greens and the young blush of spring into the deep chill of the longest night. And then I still want to be blowing, doing my thing. And come the wee sleepy hours, some notes might play sour. Song might be sad. The cats in this here band, I gotta lay it down. True, fine, it's solid gold, don't you know it? harvest all comes creeping. And all over again, it's morning, you know. I want to play the days like a jazz man plays. My craft is superb execution. My music is a life worth living. That's right. I want to play the morning like a jazz man. I want to play the morning. Good morning, jazz man. I say jazz man. How would you do?
That's a group that I heard in Toronto when I was at the Reservoir Lounge called Big Rude Jake. And the title of that was Good Morning Jazz Man. What'd you think of that?
I like
cool.
it.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
I like jazz.
And before we carry on here, I just have to mention the CJTR Look and Listen Lottery. We just have a few days left here now to get your ticket. You could win a complete audio-video makeover for your home, with the grand prize being a 58-inch Panasonic 3D plasma TV with home theater receiver, 3D Blu-ray player, complete sound surround sound speaker package, theater seating for three, with stands for the TV and speakers, and installation in your home for a retail value of $10,040. Second prize is a 50-inch Panasonic plasma TV, a value of $1,100. And third prize is Monster Beats by Dr. Dre iPod Dock Boombox, retail value $550. The draw date is Friday, June 17th at 5 p.m., so that's not very far away. Tickets are just $20 each. Only 1,000 tickets will be sold, so if you don't have your ticket, you better get one soon. Go to our website at www.cjtr.ca for more information, or call the station during business hours, 525-7274, or you can email us at lookandlistenlottery@cjtr.ca. Prizes are furnished by Radio Center Consumer Electronics, and we just invite you to get your tickets now for the Look and Listen Lottery so that you can support, help support Regina Community Radio. So there.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good prices.
Yes.
Excellent. And there's only 1,000 tickets, $20. What a deal.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got Regina Pride Week coming up. What sort of events are we going to be experiencing next week?
Okay. We have three Pride events here, too. So there's an art opening tonight at 8. It is called Come Together, Queer Artists of the Queen City. And because our theme this year is Come Together, so it's a call to the community to just work together and with our allies. So this is at the new
Creative
City Center. I can never remember the name. That's why I needed help. So it is upstairs from Loggie's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was abandoned for years, since 1954.
Wow.
So this group of artists and designers and individuals are wonderful with Marianne Donnelly. They have done renovations and they have a space, and I just saw what is going to be shown in the art display. You have to see it.
Oh, Mona and I were there for the grand opening.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice space? Because they kept the vintage flavor.
Yeah, great party.
Yeah.
Great.
So that event is free tonight.
1843 Hamilton Street.
Yes, downtown in Hamilton. And
Munchies and a cash bar.
That's right. Food is important.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So then we will start the Sunday that the Sunset United Church has a spiritual service, and is followed by a barbecue, because this was one of the United Churches and Affirming Community.
Mm-hmm.
So this is at Sunday at 10:30, and it's free.
Oh.
So everybody's welcome to go there.
Yes.
And then we have something else at Sunday, that is the family picnic. And that's at noon till 4, and it's organized by Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays at PFLAG.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs $5 per family, $2 per person, and free for people who are underpaid. And drinks are going to be
self-declared.
yes. And if you want, you can bring a dessert. You can bring anything you want, or a salad or something like that. And it's a good time. We always look forward to have all this. We get there with all our kids, our families, grandparents, you name it. We're all in the park. I hope it doesn't rain.
Oh,
well, if it rains, we go to the JLCR. That's plan B. For the big
the community center at 2070 Broad Street.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Then on Monday morning at 10, it's not here in the book, we have the flag raising in front of the legislative building at 10 a.m. So people are used to go to the city at noon. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's in front of the ledge, 10 a.m. So this is a symbolic ceremony that we have, that somebody who's been in the community for a long time hands the flag to the young people who raises the flag for that day. So we hope to see you there, because it would be really sad if I'm only there with two other people.
Oh,
I get lonely.
Yes.
And then that same day, 7 it says here, but everything will start at 7:30, is the wine and cheese and an art opening at the GLCR 2070 Broad. It is free. That's when we read all. It's a cash bar, too.
Okay.
So they present the proclamations, the province, the city, and it will be greetings from our allies and everybody who's been working with us. So come and celebrate. Then what do we have? On Tuesday at 5:30 at the United Way, we have an annual general meeting for AIDS program South Saskatchewan. And this is also free. You can come, and if you're interested in supporting and contributing to our community, that's another way that you can do it. And that same night, we have two showings at this Creative City Center on Hamilton.
Right.
We're going to show a film that is called Beyond Gay, The Politics of Pride. It's a new documentary. It's really interesting. And one showing is at 5, and the other one is at 7. And who is sponsoring this? This is Your Pride, Gay and Lesbian Bisexual Transgender Two Spirits Student Group at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And did I say it was $5? Well, now I said it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then Wednesday, 5 till 7. A program South Saskatchewan will have an open house at their office, 2911 Fifth Avenue. And for more information, you can call the 924-8420 and ask Lori what is going on in there. And it's free. Most of our events are free, as you can see. You want to read the rest?
Oh, okay. The coming out party is... We're not there yet?
No.
Okay, that's...
We are on Thursday.
Okay, I was just going to say, every year we have the coming out party. Like, every year we have some traditional events and some that are new, or sort of one time only. So the coming out party is a tradition, and it's a lot of fun. People tell their coming out stories.
All right.
And people can interpret for themselves what coming out means. When the light bulb went on over one's own head, or when they told their parents, and their parents did not freak out, or they did, as the case may be.
But there is not only one coming out.
Yeah.
That's true. Many.
But yeah,
I know what
that's
you mean.
Many.
Yeah, I know what you
because
mean.
Because you come out the first time and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Then if you're working, then you might come out at work.
Yeah.
And with the workers are there that, and you know,
and then
with
you
your
meet,
friends.
Yeah, then you meet an old friend you haven't seen for 10 years.
Yes. And then you have to come out
so
again.
So maybe it could be 5 years down the road.
That's right.
Right.
And every time it's the same butterflies in the stomach.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So, but anyways.
Yes. So that's at the Creative City Center on...
Hamilton.
I'm looking at the date. Yes, on at 1843 Hamilton at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And did we...
On Thursday, we're going to have the karaoke at the GOCR at 10 p.m. It's free. And if you sing one song, you get a free drink.
Mm-hmm.
So go for
it.
And that's a monthly thing that happens every month at the GLCR. But, of course, it always happens is it monthly or weekly?
Monthly,
yeah. But they always arrange to have it during Pride Week. Mm. Then there are some new things.
Just all done.
Oh.
The same day at 8, we have at the New Creative City Center a fundraiser for Camp Firefly. That Jeff Straker is performing.
We had a program on 2 weeks ago about Camp Firefly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is a fundraiser for them, and the tickets are $25, and there's only 40 people that they can have in that venue.
Mm.
So if you want to go, Jeff is great. I've been hearing his songs forever, and I just love what he does. And the opening will be with Nathan and Jeff, which are two musicians that are coming up. They're pretty good, too. Okay.
Well, and since we're mentioning Jeff Straker, or Jeffrey Straker, I think that's what he's called now, he is releasing a new CD during Pride Week.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday. He has a concert at the Cultural Exchange at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 2431 8th Avenue. And tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door. Then on the Thursday, sorry to be confusing, but... Yes, I know.
I mentioned that too.
Yes, yeah. On the Thursday of June 16th, there are two events featuring an out-of-town author named Liz Bug. She originally came from Regina. She got a degree in drama at the Regina branch of the University of Saskatchewan in 1970. Then she went to England. She studied voice and drama. She taught for many years in Toronto. She moved there, and she taught drama and music. And English. And she was, at one point, she was head of the drama department of a school there. She has recently retired, and she wants to take up writing and performing full time. So she has written a lesbian mystery called Red Rover, set in Toronto, published by Insomniac Press. So she will be talking about the background. She'll do a little reading, but she'll talk about the background of this novel. At the university on Thursday, 3:30 in the Adham building, room 348, hosted by the English department. I'll give a little introduction, and there will be wine and munchies. And then later that evening at 7 o'clock, she's giving a reading at Chapters Bookstore. And I think Chapters is on Gordon Road. It's in the South End. And and both these events are free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
2625 Gordon Road.
Yes.
I found it.
Good.
Okay. So then we have Friday is the regular burger and a beer at the GLCR. We open at 5 that day, every Friday during the summer. And it's for $7. You get a burger and a beer or something that you want to drink. So after work, come and meet us in there. Then that same Friday, late at night, is the white party.
Late at night, starting at 10. Yeah. It shows our age. This is late for us.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, running till 4 in the morning.
When I think of when I usually go to bed, yeah,
yes,
that's late.
That's right. It's late. And that is, and you have to, there's 10 for members and 15 for non-members. So the trick of it is that you have to wear white.
Okay.
Because there's always black light.
Okay.
So we all shine like a star.
I'll give a little warning here. Yep. Do not wear white underwear under non-white clothing.
Because you can see it.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yes. I did that one year. Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's not sexy.
Right. It is sexy.
But I don't know. Okay. So, and on Saturday, there we come, the parade.
Yes.
It's going to start this year at 2, not at 11.
Okay.
And the reason that we did it is because some people didn't like going to a parade hangover.
From the night before.
No. It was just because it was a lot of hassle to have people at 11, really. And started on time, which we are known to do. So we're going to gather behind the GLCR, 2070 Broad, the big parking lot.
Right.
We're going to start gathering at 1 with your float. Bring your float, bring your vehicle, bring your motorcycle, bring your banners, your drums, anything that you can make noise. And be happy and celebrate, because life without a parade is really boring, I have to say.
Oh, yes.
So I have forms for the parade if they want to enter, but you can call me or leave a message at the GLCR.
So you don't want them to just show up. You would like to know that they're coming.
If they're going to bring a float.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
People on foot can just show up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everybody's welcome, and we hope that we'll have lots of good weather, lots of good people, and have fun. And then at the ledge, when we finish, the flag is going to be waiting for us in there, and we'll have greetings from people, whomever wants to do it. It's a little more flexible than all these other formal ceremonies.
I see the suggestion here, bring sunscreen, probably a good idea.
Yes.
If the sun continues to shine as it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And lots of water.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I don't know if the vitamin water is going to be out again like last year, the truck that we had.
He was handing out free samples.
He just joined us last minute, and he was handing out vitamin water. So.
Very nice.
Let's hope. If you're listening, bring the truck, please, because I couldn't find you.
Mm-hmm. It was much appreciated
last
year.
That's right.
It was.
It is.
Oh, yes.
And after the parade, so because you're gonna be tired and everything else and happy, so we're gonna have a barbecue, and that is organized by the Pride Committee. It's $5 for your burger with all the condiments and salads, and you buy your soft drinks at the bar. So it's all ages. This is something that people sometimes don't go when we have events at the GLCR because they think kids gonna go. Yes, they can, accompanied by their parent or guardian until 10 at night. So this is for a family. So our barbecue will be there. And then after the barbecue, if you want to stay around, you can do that. And just have cocktails or visit, socialize. And at, what is here? After that, it will be a dance for everybody, and young people can be there until 10. There won't be a DJ, but maybe we're going to have some recorded music playing. And downstairs, you have to imagine this building has 2 floors. So downstairs, we have the multipurpose room, and that's where we're going to have a show organized by the SSRA, which is the Queens. The drag queens.
The Regal Society.
Yes. Imperial Regal Society of Saskatchewan. There you go.
Yes.
The show downstairs is for 19 years and up. So I really don't know about the title, but that's why they call it Ghetto Fabulous.
So this is a little different format from last year.
Yes.
As far as the drag show is concerned.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It is for adults.
Because Mona and I were involved with it last year.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
This is different. So this is $5. And if you get there before 10, you don't have to pay door charge. That's a hint.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's welcome. So, and I think that will be for the whole week of celebrations.
Maybe I should just say something about the protocol at drag shows. Since the performers are considered royalty, drag queens and kings, when you're supposed to tip them, it's polite to line up and give them a little, you know, loonie or two or whatever.
Right.
And you bow or curtsy when you do this because they're royalty.
Right, right.
And it's a sign that you like what they're doing.
Right. Yes.
And because they spend a lot of money in their outfits, so that will help them to just recover all those costs. Because they do their own makeup, their own dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it, and they look better than all of us.
Yes.
What's up with that?
They raise money for good causes.
I know. Mm-hmm. They're charity organization. Mm-hmm. So that's the week of our celebration, though.
Yeah, just going back to the drag show, some of it is it's just costume, but some people actually perform.
Right.
Yes.
And
right.
Do some singing or recitations or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Lip singing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, most of them lip sync, but some actually sing.
Yeah, I remember one. That's
have
right.
Voices. Yeah.
Right. Right. I remember last year there was one that was. I mean, I forget who it was, but they actually did sing. You know, and fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, one thing that I forgot to mention, we have inside the first cover of the book, the parade route.
Oh, yes, there it is.
So we're going to start at the back of the Jill's Yard, then we go north on Rose Street, then west on Victoria, and then south on Albert, and then east on Lakeview to the ledge.
Okay.
So that's the
route. The street that's right in front of the ledge. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where can we pick up the official guide?
It is at the GLCR. They're going to be some tonight at the art opening. And that's the two places that we have them. We don't have that many. And I have to mention this. This is the work of art of Carly Jessup. Well, she is a member of our committee. She designed this.
Wow.
And the printing was done by Saskatchewan Federation of Labor, the Solidarity and Pride Committee for
good
free.
Stuff, yeah.
Free of charge.
Free of charge, which really is that we just love it.
Yeah. This is the first year we got free printing. We've always had to pay for our own printing of the guide.
Yeah.
In the past.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a pretty full week there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm. Is this a little more or a little less than last year? Is it get a little more every year or different? Or?
Well, this year we decided, and I decided personally, I'm not going to be involved in everything. So other groups have been organizing their own events.
Right.
So it's a lot different. We sort of like this year turn into being more artistic. There's more art, more concerts, more things like that than the year before. And there's a reading, there's two art openings, and it's just that we'll see what happens. Yep. I thought that it would be less because I was panicking like usual. We're not going to have pride. And then everybody came together. That's why we call it Come Together. And we did it. Once again, we did it. And thanks to all the members of the Pride Committee and all the allies, because they were there in the meetings and it was really, really showing how much people care.
Yep.
So.
Well, I'd like to thank the two of you. Our time's up here. Time flies. And I'd like to thank the two of you, Jean Hildebol and Mirta Rivera Mazuela.
Yes.
For being here and telling us all about it. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. We want you to visit our website at amnestysaskatchewan.ca or check out our Facebook group at Amnesty International Saskatchewan. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."